Again, some of the messages, even the one I preached this morning, really, since we're kind of at the end of a year and getting ready to go into a new year, kind of preaching some messages just to kind of help us to wrap up 2021 and prepare for 2022. And verses 12 and 13 of Philippians chapter 4, I think, are a great set of verses to help us think about this past year that we've come through and to prepare for the year that we're going into, knowing that with Christ we can do all things. He will always be there to help us. He already knows what the future holds. He knows what 2022 holds for us individually as a church. And we are always looking for the Lord to guide and direct us and helping us to follow by faith. So Philippians chapter 4, looking at verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, Father, we ask that you bless our time together. Father, I ask that you would just guide our hearts, guide our thoughts, establish our thoughts, Lord, as we commit this hour to you. I pray, Father, that we would walk away knowing that we've heard from heaven, Lord, collectively as a body of believers, but also individually as followers of Christ. I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to learn what we need to learn, to remember what we need to be reminded of. And as always, Lord, help us to be faithfully following our Savior, Lord, as we're obedient to the Word of God, as we apply the Word of God to our life. And as always, Father, we look to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Father, I ask that you would please bless each person here tonight, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said these words. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The only reason why you and I can endure every day, every month, and every year is because of Jesus Christ. The only reason why we can overcome obstacles that come up on a daily basis, a weekly basis, is because of Jesus Christ. And I think Paul is a great example of just a common man who had a love for God, who followed the Lord, who never turned back, who never allowed his past failures to keep him from moving forward, because his focus was always Jesus Christ. And that's why in verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Again, we know that Paul was a man that was acquainted with grief. He was acquainted with trials and tribulations. He was acquainted with prison. He was acquainted with people hating him, people wanting to kill him, people stabbing him in the back, people befriending him just to use him. He was just a common man trying to live his life for the Lord, and he had to rely on Jesus Christ in order to keep moving forward, in order to not be discouraged, in order not to give up, in order not to let the devil have the upper hand in his life, but to always remember and to remind himself that he has victory in Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, I know this past year, the past 2 years have been kind of up and down as a country, for us individually, for a church. Really, every year of life has its ups and downs. But again, as we think about moving on into 2022, I want us to think about what has helped us through 2021. And I don't want you to allow any mistakes, any failures to keep you from moving forward, because remember, we have victory in Jesus Christ. And there comes with that, in order to be able to have that, I guess, the mindset that Paul has here, because I want you to, again, listen to verse 12. Verse 12, Paul says, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I believe in order for us to succeed in our Christian walk, in order not to allow failures, not to allow trials, to discourage us and to get us to quit. There is room, I guess, there is an opportunity for us to have an attitude of faith. There's an opportunity for us to have the right attitude, the biblical attitude. And I'm talking about positive thinking where you just tell yourself that you're good and everything's okay. But to have the biblical thinking that you're using Scripture to guide yourself each and every day. You're using Scripture to encourage yourself. You're using Scripture to remind you that you do have victory in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has won the victory for us, and by faith, we can see victory in our life. Again, I love reading the back of the Bible. I love reading where the Bible says the devil's cast into the lake of fire, because oftentimes I have to remind the devil that his place is in the lake of fire, that he no longer has room in my life, that he no longer has control in my life, that my life belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the best he can do is try to deceive me and convince me otherwise. That's the best the devil can do. He can't steal your salvation. He can take away your joy if you let him. If you let him, he can cause you to think that you're a failure, that you're not on the winning side. But again, when we read the Bible, we know we are on the winning side because Jesus defeated him at the cross of Calvary when he took the keys of death and hell away from him, because Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when we think about the life that we're living, we think about the fact that with Christ, we can do all things. There's nothing we cannot do that God calls us to do because he enables us to do it, but we do have to have a right attitude. If there is a Christian, if there is a believer that thinks they do not have victory or cannot get victory, well, they've got a defeated attitude. God has given us victory, and we have to have the attitude of a Christian faith, and it starts with a biblical thinking. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we just start with the fact that we have to maintain a biblical thinking as we continue moving forward in our faith and in our life as the Lord guides us and leads us and as we follow by faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, you know the verse. The verse says, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You and I have victory through Jesus Christ. Now, you know that, but as I counsel people, there are some that believe that they don't have victory through Jesus Christ. There are some that think that the devil always gets the upper hand. Again, that's a lie from the devil. That is deception, because we have victory through Jesus Christ. What victory do we not have that Jesus Christ gives us? He gives us victory in this world. He gives us victory over the flesh. He gives us victory over the devil. So to have that power of biblical thinking, having that right attitude as a believer in Christ, as a follower, as a disciple of Christ, we know that we can give thanks to God because we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ in all areas, in all areas. You know, even in Sunday schools, we start talking about having just having the effective, powerful prayer life. The devil wants you, wants every single child of God to think that their prayers do not matter. Because if the devil can convince a child of God that their prayers do not matter and can convince that person to stop praying to a God in heaven who already knows what's on their heart, already knows what's on their mind, already knows what their life entails, if the devil can convince that person to stop praying, they won't see victory in their life because they're not praying in faith. They're not coming to the one who will reward them by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Because listen, why do a lot of Christians walk away from God? Because they stop believing. They stop trusting. They stop following. They start believing lies and the deception of the devil. In Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, the Bible again reminds us, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And remember, Jesus said when he was questioned by the lawyer and said, which is the great commandment? And Jesus said, you must to love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, loving your neighbor as thyself. But the fact is that when you love God with all your heart, you will know that by faith you can come to the Lord and he will reward you, that he will answer your prayers, that he will help you, that whatever it is you're facing, whether it's a decision, whatever it is, whether it's a mountain. Remember, Jesus even said that we could say to this mountain, you know, be removed and it would be cast into the sea. But again, it's by faith. It's trusting that the Lord will remove the mountain, remove what's standing in our way. I mean, there are giants that we face at different times. And again, the Israelites faced literal giants when they went into the promised land. And it's what caused them not to follow by faith, not to go into the promised land. And those 10 spies convinced the rest of the people that it was impossible. They couldn't go in. So they didn't go in. And Caleb and Joshua had to wait 40 years before they received the promise of going in, because they never doubted God. And sometimes, you know, because of somebody else's lack of faith, sometimes we have to endure, all right? But again, having the attitude of a biblical thinking, the power of biblical thinking, that the fact that we have victory through Jesus Christ. Now, if we have that biblical thinking, then we know that we can have the positive attitude like Paul when he says, I can do. All right? Again, he's not trusting in himself, but he knows that I can do all things through Christ. But again, what is it that you cannot do? What is it that you cannot do that God calls you to do, that God wants to do in your life? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, Paul says, nay, and all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So I can do whatever God calls me to do. If God calls me to be poor, I can be poor. If God calls me to be rich, which I kind of sometimes would like for him to call me to be rich, I mean, just drop $1 million in my lap because I can do a lot for you, Lord, with $1 million. But he knows that, you know what? That's not what I need. What I need is my faith to grow in him, for me to keep trusting him, because he's never forsaken me. He's never left me. As the psalmist said, he's never seen the righteous forsaken yet begging bread. So God always takes care of us. But sometimes people have the attitude that, well, if I had this, I could be a better Christian. You know, again, as I often use Paul prayed 3 times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. It was something in his life that he prayed that God would change it. And yet God knew, no, I'm going to leave it because that's going to help you stay close to me. Now listen, no trials that God allows in our life are ever mistakes. The hardships that God allows in our life, is to help us to rely more on him. The problem is sometimes we don't view it that way. Sometimes we view it as either maybe God's punishing us, as I've heard people say that, where something's going on in their life and they feel as though God is punishing them for something they did prior to salvation. And that's not the way God works. Remember, the Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, God remembers our iniquity no more. Once you ask for forgiveness, you're forgiven. God doesn't bring it back up. The devil brings it up. The devil's the accuser. He's the one that doesn't want us to have a powerful, positive, biblical thinking. He wants us to have an earthly thinking, a carnal mind, where we think, you know, God is punishing us for something I did years ago. God's not being fair, but again, everything that God allows in our life is fair, and God is sovereign. I mean, you think about the life of Job. Job had to, in the beginning of his trial, when he lost everything, he lost his children, he lost all his livelihood, he had to have the right attitude. You look it up in Job chapter 1, where Job says, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Because somebody was tempting him to curse God and die. And yet Job had to maintain a right attitude. He had to remind himself, no, God gave me all this. God took it away. It is totally up to God what God wants to do. You know what? That's having the right attitude that whatever God wants to do in my life, he has the right to do it. He has the authority to do it. Now, do we like that? No. We don't like that. We want to be in control of our life. We want to be in control of our destiny. We want to be in control of what happens. And when we're not, we're tempted to get mad at God. But God is always right. And Paul learned that. Again, Paul is not some superhuman Christian. He's not some supernatural Christian. He is a common man who put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And even Jesus said to Ananias in Damascus that Paul was a chosen vessel and Paul was going to learn how to bear the name of Christ. He was going to learn some hardships, but the grace of God would be with him. Again, with Christ, we can face anything that God allows into our life, and we have to have the right attitude, and we have to have the right thinking that, you know what, I can because of Christ. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12. If you've already turned away from there, go back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12. I mean, think about just what Paul says. I mean, you can almost sense just the attitude he has. That it's not a cocky attitude, it's not a prideful attitude, but it's a humble attitude that's very powerful. And Philippians 4, verse 12, the Bible says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul learned that whatever God allowed in his life, he was completely okay with it. The flesh isn't. The flesh always wants to complain. The flesh always wants to defend itself. But Paul had to learn spiritually that it's okay. And we have to remind ourselves that, you know what? It is okay no matter what we have faced in 2021. Think about where you're at right now. You're at the end of December. Did God bring you through the year? Absolutely. You wouldn't be sitting here tonight. Now, did you have some ups and downs through the years? Through 2021? Sure you did. Everybody does. The Bible says don't marvel at it. You know, Elijah thought he was the only one. Right? Elijah thought he was the only one serving God, the only one trying to do right. And God had to tell Elijah, no, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Just because you don't see other people doing what you're doing or seemingly having problems, you know, in their life doesn't mean that they're not. Doesn't mean that they're not still following the Lord. Doesn't mean they're not still trusting the Lord. Again, we're not supposed to compare ourselves among ourselves because that's unwise according to the scripture. But again, Paul learned to have a right attitude, and his attitude was based on scripture, the truth that he has victory in Jesus Christ, and he's able to write that. I believe with all my heart, if Paul did not have that right attitude, God would not allow his word. What Paul said when he wrote to the church at Philippi, God would not allow it to be a part of his scripture if it was not a right attitude that Paul had. And it teaches us that we can have a right attitude. It's the attitude of our Christian faith. Now look at verse 11, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. All right? Paul lived daily. He daily was living, and he was dependent upon God's grace. All right? And we need to be dependent upon God's grace daily. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Another part of having the right attitude is being okay with what you don't have. Being okay with what you don't have. Again, would I like an RV so I can go camping? Absolutely. I love camping. I love camping in a tent. I'm okay with that. But some people in my family would like an RV because, you know, it's got a shower. It's got a stove you can cook on. It's got a refrigerator. I mean, it's got a couch. It's got a table. It's very comfortable. You know, if you get the right one, you can get a king-size bed. I mean, you know, you can just, it's a home on wheels, all right? And, you know, we like the comforts. We like to be able to just have the comforts of life. But when you think about your life as a Christian, you really have to have the mindset that I'm okay if God does not allow me to have, and you fill in the blank. Because what is it that you think you need and God hasn't given it to you? We have to be okay with what God doesn't give us. We have to be okay that, you know what, God knows what's best. God knows that, you know what, if he were to give me this, whatever it is, it might be what draws me away from the Lord. It might be what causes me to backslide. It might be what causes me to turn my back on the truth of God's word and rely more in that. I've seen it time and time again where someone got what they wanted, and that very thing that they got is what drove them away from the Lord. Because, you know, sometimes God will give us what we think we need, and we find out later, that's not what I need. You think about the prodigal son. He was not a lost man. He's the prodigal son. Yet he thought, you know what? I want my inheritance. I want what's coming to me. I want it now. And the father allowed him to have it. The father gave it to him. But at the end of his riotous living, at the end of his partying, at the end of doing everything he thought he wanted, he realizes in the pig pen, that's not what he wanted. He knew he needed to go back home. You think about Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. He was very wise in the fact that he asked the Lord for wisdom at the beginning of his reign, because he knew that he could not guide and judge God's people without God's wisdom. And God blessed him tremendously with wisdom, but unfortunately, Solomon ended up trying everything under the sun. He gave himself to everything that wasn't right. And at the end, he simply says it's better to fear God. He learned the hard way that what he thought he wanted, what he thought would bring him happiness, what he thought would make his life exciting, did nothing but bring misery. Because God will show us at times that what we need truly is just him. We don't need things in this world, though he does bless us with material possessions. He blesses us financially. But those things should not be what has the affection of our heart. The affection of our heart should be solely focused on the Lord. And again, Paul was able to say, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul learned it. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way that, you know what, God is all that I need, because God will provide everything I need every step of the way as I journey through this life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. look at verses 8 and 9. Paul speaking to the church at Corinth says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." I mean, just again, notice what Paul says. He mentions the negative, but he puts a positive to it. Again, it's our mindset that has to be right, our mindset that's based on Scripture. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Who wants you to be stressed? The devil. Because the devil is all about crushing. He's all about destroying. Remember, he's the thief that cometh not, but to steal, kill, and destroy. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I mean, Paul understands what it's like to have just wickedness and evilness constantly up against him as he's trying to do the will of God. And he has to have, again, the right mindset as his mind is focused on Christ, knowing that the Lord called me to this ministry. The Lord will see me through this ministry. The Lord will help me through this ministry. And he will help you in every area of your life. He promises that. He promises to help you according to his will. In verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 4, Paul goes on to say, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. It's all about glorifying God and lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. How much did Jesus increase in our life this past year? Hopefully a lot. Hopefully we allowed Christ to gain a lot of us this year. And what I mean by that is that we said, Lord, here am I, have your way with me. Lord, I want Christ to be lifted up in my life. I want him to get the honor and glory that is due unto his name through a life that's been changed by the power of Christ. Again, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Again, in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Do you know that God has a purpose in your life? Do you know that what's going on in your life right now is according to God's purpose? And sometimes you may think, well, that can't be. Again, if we go back to the life of Job, Job was a man who eschewed evil. He was a man that walked uprightly before God. He feared God. He prayed on the behalf of his children just in case they were doing something wrong against God. And yet God is the one that brought Job's name up to the devil and said, have you considered my servant Job? Sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes I don't want God bringing my name up. But you know what? One of the best things that can happen in your life is for God to be active in your life. Yes, we don't like the hard things. We want everything to be rosy. We want everything to be good. But again, it's in the valleys that we learn to trust God. And we learn to draw nigh unto our Redeemer. We learn that he is faithful. We love the mountaintop experiences, but it's in the valley that we learn to follow by faith, and we learn to trust. Again, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The second thing I want you to think about tonight, besides having a right attitude and having the attitude of a Christian faith, is that I want you to see the action of our Christian faith. All right? There needs to be action with our faith. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 27. Now what Jesus is about to say, he says after he said that it's, back up if you would. Back up verse 23, and Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? He says it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God because they're trusting in their riches. Verse 24, the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? So what Jesus is about to say in verse 27, he's answering their question, all right, who then can be saved? Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Meaning, as Jesus answers their question, who can be saved? It's possible. There's not a single person that cannot be saved. Paul was saved, and Paul was a religious man that went around murdering Christians, and yet he was saved on the road to Damascus. There have been many, many men and women saved, and they've had a heinous background. But obviously, the words of Christ, when he says, "For with God all things are possible," there's not a single person who cannot be saved. But think about all the difficulties of life. Think of all the things that we face in life. God specializes in the impossible. Remember, Gabriel told Mary, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." You think about God causing a virgin to be with child, the Holy Spirit overshadowing her and her conceiving. If God can do that, what is it that he cannot do for us? If God can cause a virgin to be with child, if there's not a single person that God cannot save, God's the one that moves in the heart. God's the one that can turn the heart of a king whithersoever he will, like the rivers of water. What is it that God cannot do for you or for me? We have to have the right mindset, and the mindset is that God can. And whatever God wants you to do. Again, the devil is a great deceiver, and he has deceived many in thinking that they cannot do what God has asked them to do, that they cannot give up sin, they cannot break habits, they cannot trust God, who they do not see, but we can. God does give victory over sin. God does help us to change our habits. Again, when I was listening to heavy metal music as a young person and got saved and got rid of that music, well, I had to replace it with something that was good. So I started listening to Christian music. So, I mean, again, whatever God works on us as he continues to work in us, changing us and helping us to get rid of things in our life that may not necessarily be sin, but as the Bible says, it's a weight, it's something that's holding us back, we have to replace it with something good. So if I'm going to change my wrong thinking, I have to change it with right thinking. And that right thinking is biblical thinking, which tells me that I have victory in Jesus Christ. There's nothing that I will encounter in my life that I cannot get victory over. And whatever God calls me to do, I can do it through Jesus Christ. One thing that a lot of people struggle with is witnessing. And he gives us the ability to witness. In fact, he calls us to witness. And because he calls us to witness, he gives us the ability. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." How in the world was Peter, James, John, the other disciples going to accomplish God's will and Jesus' command? How could a few fishermen accomplish the will of God? Well, first they would need to be able to speak with boldness. Because remember, Peter had denied the Lord 3 times. And yet the Lord came and the Lord reconciled the relationship with Peter. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," this is after the lame man at the temple was healed, and they were brought before the religious rulers and they were questioned, and Peter preached to them very boldly, and they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And I love that the fact that they marveled, these religious rulers marveled, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. So again, speaking in boldness, he gives us the ability where maybe it seems impossible that I could be a spokesperson or a representative for Christ, yet he's given us of the Holy Spirit to be able to do just that. And Peter and the others were able to do that because they were praying for boldness. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." After they were threatened not to teach and preach in the name of Jesus Christ, after they even received some beatings, they sit there and they still ask for boldness. "Lord, give me the boldness. Give me the boldness to preach in thy name. Give me the boldness to speak thy name to somebody else. Help me, Lord, to accomplish thy will in my life." And again, having that right attitude that, you know what? It's not just the preacher. It's not just the Sunday school teacher. It's not just the missionary. It's not just someone who is who's congenial, who has a great personality that it seems like everybody listens to that person. No, it's all of us that God's given that ability because it's through the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So again, when you think about just having the right attitude and having the action of our Christian faith that, you know what, I want to fulfill what God's will is for me. I might have missed out on some of God's will in 2021. Maybe I wasn't looking for it. Maybe I was shying away from it. Maybe I had my head under the covers hoping that, you know what, God would just pass by and everything would be okay. But in 2022, as we're approaching a new year and we understand and even sense that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is a lot nearer and that we need to be ready, that, you know what, we don't want to be found having shame at his coming, but we want to be found faithfully following his word, faithfully following his commission, faithfully being the disciples of Christ and allowing our faith to grow and not anchoring ourselves in this world, but establishing our hearts in the heavens. As Jesus said, where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our hearts need to be all about the eternal. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul speaks to Timothy and says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He encourages Timothy to be an example of the believers, meaning let your actions speak. Again, you've heard the phrase that words are cheap, actions speak louder. And it is true. We do need to speak, but again, what we say needs to be backed up by action. Why don't you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. As we're just reminded of just the access that we have of our Christian faith. Again, the fact that having the right attitude as we enter into a new year, and with that attitude, having the right actions, again, knowing that I can only do what the Lord calls me to do through the power of Jesus Christ. And let me just encourage us tonight, don't give the devil place in your life. Don't let the devil have victory. You and I are the children of God. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. There's a place that's been prepared in his Father's house for each and every one of us. We don't want to have the mindset that the Israelites had when they came out of Egypt, after seeing the mighty hand of God deliver them out of Egypt through the plagues, through protecting them, and even allowing them to spoil the Egyptians when they came out. The Egyptians were just giving them things so they would leave because their firstborns were killed by the death angel. And yet God protected his people. They saw the hand of God. They saw the miracle of being delivered out of bondage. They saw the Red Sea parted in front of them. With their own feet, they walked across dry ground through the midst of the Red Sea. With their own eyes, they looked back and saw their enemies trying to come across, and yet the ground to them was mud, and they saw the waters of the Red Sea come back over them and totally drown the Egyptian army that was trying to capture them back. They saw what God could do. They saw the Shekinah glory of God in the pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day. And yet with their lips, because their heart was not right with God, they would time and time again, they would go to Moses and they would complain to Moses about God. God brought us out here to kill us. God brought us out here to leave us. God brought us out here to judge us. I mean, just over and over again, even though they saw the goodness of God towards them, yet when there was any amount of difficulty they had to face, they started complaining and blaming God. That gives the devil great joy when a child of God who's been delivered out of his hands and out of his chains, it gives him great joy to see a child of God complain about God and not trust God and not follow God. Though the devil can't have that person back, yet it brings him great joy that they're not fully trusting the one that redeemed them, the one that saved them, the one that lives within them. As Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, again, as we think about just the access that we have to God's grace, again, we're reminded as Jesus tells Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. It's okay to be weak. Now, humanly speaking, nobody likes to be weak. Nobody likes to be weak. Nobody likes their weaknesses to be known. Again, when you fill out a job application or when you go to an interview and they want to know what are your strengths and weaknesses, we give a whole list of strengths we have, but I'm not quite sure what my weaknesses are. I guess my weaknesses are that I'm always ready to work. People try to, speak highly of themselves and think, well, I have no weaknesses. But we all have weaknesses. There's not a single person that does not have a weakness. Because you know what? With that weakness, we find strength, and that strength is in Jesus Christ. That weakness reminds us, I do need the Lord. I cannot do it without Christ. The weakness may be that, you know what? You're not a great speaker. You don't like being in crowds. You don't really like talking to people. There's just a host of different weaknesses that we all may struggle with. But again, it's okay because like Paul even says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's what our desire should be, is the power of Christ resting upon us. Remembering that, you know what, we have access to God's grace because we are His children. Like I said earlier, God never wastes a trial in a Christian's life. Every trial that comes into your life, God's going to use it for good. He's going to use it for our good and for His glory. But not only are we enabled by God's grace to be able to endure what He allows in our life, but He's given us of the Holy Spirit to help us. Look at the words of Jesus in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Again, it's only by God's grace that we've come through another year. It's only by God's grace that we're still walking with Him, that we have not walked away from Him or given up on Him, who never gives up on us. It's only by God's grace that we continue to hear His voice as He speaks to us through our daily devotions, through messages we hear being preached. It's only by God's grace that we still have a sensitive heart to the things of God. Jesus said in John 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. If you were to skip down to verse 26, Jesus goes on to say, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. You know, as we continue to study the Word of God, as we continue to read our daily devotions, and we try to get closer to the Lord through the Scriptures, and we try to find God's will for our life each day, each week, each month, each year, as we continue to try to glean some wisdom from God's word to help us in decisions and stuff, He's given us of his Spirit. And oftentimes, God's people neglect the Spirit. They neglect the Holy Spirit. They grieve the Holy Spirit. They quench the Holy Spirit in their life, and they wonder, where is God? They wonder, why isn't God talking to me? Why don't I feel God leading me? It's because we've neglected what God has given us. Jesus said it was expedient for him to depart so the Comforter would come, being the Holy Spirit, who would not only comfort us, remind us of the promises of God's word, but to teach us the truths of God's word and to guide us by God's word. And when we're there seemingly alone, always helping us to look back to Jesus, pointing us to our Lord and Savior. In John 16:13, Jesus said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So you think about the fact that the Holy Spirit empowers us with the truth of God's word, which guides us with the comfort of his promises. So you think about entering in another year. Remember, where you're at right now, God's brought you here. Where you're at in your life. No matter what good things have happened in 2021, no matter what bad things have happened, God's brought you through it. Hopefully we have learned some lessons along the way. Hopefully we've drawn closer to the Lord. Hopefully our hearts have become more sensitive to the things of God, and our ear has become more keen to hearing the voice of God as he leads us, because remember, he has a soft, still voice that speaks behind us. This is the way, walk ye in it. The devil speaks with a loud voice, but God speaks with a soft, still voice. That sometimes, you know what? We have to shut the things out of this world, get alone with God more now than ever. Because as the devil just ramps up his attacks on God's people, knowing his time is short, and I believe it's shorter than ever before. I can't put a timetable on it. Only God knows that. But you know what? As you get closer to God, as you seek God more, as you read God's word more, you start to see, you know what? I can see where he's even at the door, just waiting for the Lord to say, "Go get my children." Waiting for the trumpet to sound, waiting for the voice of the archangel. And you know what? That should excite us, and at the same time, it should cause us to take inventory of our life. Am I ready to meet my Lord and Savior face to face? If not, and I'm not talking about salvation, I'm just talking about the life that he's given us. Am I ready to present myself to the Lord? Am I ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive or not receive rewards according to what the Bible tells us? Again, there's always room for growth. There's always room for improvement. Again, as you look back at 2021, hopefully you can look back and see where, you know what? I didn't really trust the Lord very much in that situation, but he brought me through it. So you know what? I can trust him in the next situation that comes along, because he's faithful. He's faithful to see me through it. Because if God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. That's just the way God is. I love the fact that in Scripture that I'm not mentioned. That's one thing I'm thankful of, that my name's not mentioned. But I love looking at the disciples and seeing the fact that twice Jesus put them in the midst of a storm. Once he's in the midst of the boat with them, the other time he's walking on the sea. And both times the disciples are scared to death. But Jesus calms their fears. He allows Peter in one instance to come out of the boat to walk towards him. Peter obviously starts sinking because he's fearful. He steps out by faith because Jesus said, "Come." And that's a good thing. When Jesus says, "Come," it's a good thing to walk, to step out by faith, trusting the one that is leading you and guiding you. But then when something happens and we react in the flesh and we start to sink, as Peter did, remembering that he's there to help us. He's not there to condemn you. He's not there to remind you. You know, Peter cried out, "Lord, save me," as he's sinking beneath the waters, beneath the waves and the storm. You don't read in Scripture where the Lord is looking down at Peter saying, Peter, I don't know, you keep messing up. I keep having to help you, Peter. Peter, I think I'm going to let you learn a hard lesson. I'm going to let you sink about 500 feet before I save you. No, the Bible says that the Lord was right there, lifted him up, and walked with him back to the boat. That's a wonderful Savior that we have that, you know what, when we fall, he's there to lift us up and to continue walking with us, helping us to learn from our mistakes so that our faith will be strengthened, so we will learn some lessons, so we will continue trusting the Lord, continue moving along in our faith, following our Lord and Savior, and not letting the devil have the victory in our minds, causing us to think that we're failures. No, the Lord knew exactly who he was getting when he saved you. And I look at me, I think, Lord, you knew who you were getting, and you still chose to save me? I mean, that's a marvelous thing. It's a wonderful thing. And the fact is that the Lord, he knows your life from this moment on, because there's not a person that's perfect. And yet the Lord is perfect, and the Lord wants to show his grace and his love and in your life, my life, and the Lord wants to do great and mighty things. So as you look forward to 2022, leave the devil in the dust. Don't walk hand in hand with him. Walk hand in hand with the Savior, just following your Savior, relying upon his grace, trusting in his mercy, and reminding yourself, you know what, he loves me, and he's working on me because he begun a good work in me and will continue that good work until I see my Savior face to face, when I get my new body, when I am perfect. Praise the Lord that God is working on you as he's working on me, because some people, they give up. People give up on people all the time, but the Lord never gives up. The Lord never gives up on you, never gives up on me, because you know what? He paid an awfully high price for you and for me. So you know what? Sometimes, you know, there are presents that were bought this year that cost a lot of money, that the person who received it doesn't realize how much it cost the other person. And you think about, and you know what? When you don't value something, probably a poor example, but as a teenager driving my parents' car, I didn't value the car. It wasn't mine. I didn't pay the insurance or the payments for it. So I would hot rod their car. If you could hot rod a Toyota Corolla. But I did. All four tires bald, because I thought me and my friend thought we were just, you know, Bo and Luke Duke, and we were, you know, going 80 and pulling an emergency brake and trying to get that thing to spin around and not even thinking. And then, you know, before I got home, I got out, looked at the tires, and I was like, you know, I didn't value the car when I was having fun with it, but when it came to having to buy new tires, it was like, I can't afford that. But you know what? When I got my own car, 1980 Mustang, that you could hear me a mile away coming. And not because it had a good engine, it had a bad muffler. And I could see through the floorboard. But you know what? I valued that car because I paid for it. $400 I paid for that car. And it was mine. It's like, you know what? I took care of it. That's the way we are with things. Things that we don't pay for, you think about Jesus Christ. He paid the ultimate price for you. He's not going to leave you in the dust. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to let hard times overtake you. He's going to use those trials for your good and his glory. He's going to help your faith to grow because he wants you to learn that he is faithful. He wants you to grow closer to him. He wants your trust to build. And he wants you to have a more intimate relationship with him. It's amazing that the Lord wants to have a more intimate relationship with us. For you know what? God's desire is that we have a heart's desire, that we want to be in his presence all the time. Jesus was in the house of Martha and Mary. Martha's cumbered about with much serving. She's in the kitchen. You know, Jesus is in her house. She wants to make sure the meal is good and everything's good. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to him. And Martha's not happy. And Martha says, Jesus bid her to come help me. But Jesus says, Mary's chosen the better thing. She's chosen to spend time. Now, serving God is important. But many people do what they know they're supposed to do, but they leave the relationship of Christ out of it. Again, take inventory of this past year for yourself. And then look at this next year and set some goals for yourself, spiritual goals. Getting closer to God, being led by His Spirit more, being sensitive of the Holy Spirit, being more keen to the voice of God, allowing God to give you victory in your life because you're trusting Him, you're coming to Him by faith, as Hebrews 11:6 tells us, because He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.